Good morning, and welcome back to your morning conversation here on KXCV. Karen W., I'm Jeremy Werner. Joining me this morning is new Northwest President Dr. Lance Tatum. Dr. Tatum, thank you for joining me this morning.
Out of all the questions, like I guess I was like thinking over, I was like, how do I start this? And I think I kind of want to, you know, not necessarily start at the very, very beginning, but, you know, what is it that you believe was the first instance that, you know, started you on this path of, you know, not only higher education, but just education in general?
Yeah. You know, it probably goes all the way back to my 10th grade English teacher. I tell the story. It was the first time, at least in my young life, that someone saw something in me beyond athletics. And she was the sponsor of the high school newspaper. And she said, you know, you ever thought about writing for the newspaper? And I said, no, not really. She said, well, I think you should do that. And then from there, the next year, she said, I think you should be the editor. So I went from being just a reporter to being the editor. And it was a moment for me. You know, it was a moment where, like I said, someone saw potential in me beyond where potential had been seen before. And it really put me on the path of seeing how powerful being in education could be, particularly influencing and helping and serving students. And so that started it. I got really lucky in college, found a mentor who, again, saw in me the opportunity to go beyond my undergraduate degree, really encouraged me to get my master's, and then one day said, I think you need to get a PhD. And I actually went to Florida State for my doctoral degree to be an athletic director, but had a chance to get into a classroom. It was something that wasn't easy, but I wasn't nervous standing up in front of people. I wasn't, you know, concerned with the things that sometimes prevent people from going into the profession. And that kind of set me on the path to teaching. And then from there, got into higher ed.
And I, you know, going over your resume, I noticed there was this kind of equal dipping in sports and in education. What are some of the, you know, I assume there's a lot of similarities between those two things for you to, you know, have such a kind of fluid interest in both throughout, you know, your entire career.
Yeah, you know, you talk about student athletes. They're students, right? They have some of the same challenges and some of the same activities that the general student body population would have. They just have a very focused part of their life, and that is the athletic piece. And so, yeah, I think there was a lot of crossover. You know, being an athletic director is not that much different than being a dean of a college. And so I had a good chance of working in an area that truly was a calling for me, but also have connection to a high area of interest, and that was athletics. I spent 8 years as the faculty athletic rep in my younger days in my career, which was great because I got connected to students. I had a chance to be around the university's administrators and learned kind of how the university functioned, and gave me a chance to really reach a level of exposure that I may not have had just as a faculty member in a classroom.
Well, I feel like, you know, as you were going, some people in their brain were thinking, oh, so Northwest is a natural fit. We have great athletics up here and great So, you know, was that what originally drew you to Northwest?
No, okay. That was an additional factor, but I mentioned to some people the other day, where it started with me was reaching out to my academic colleagues, particularly those who were associated with regional universities, and, you know, asked the question, have you heard about Northwest? What have you heard about Northwest? And to the person, everyone I talked to, talked about what a great academic university this was. And so the more you dig into what's happening here from an academic standpoint and the reputation standpoint, how they serve the community, how they serve the state, those were the things that really began to draw me to Northwest.
Okay. And you've been in the role now, you know, since the beginning of this month. And I assume a lot of conversations before that to help with the transition. You know, from a managerial kind of aspect, what is your approach to the job?
That's a great question because I've never been a university president before. And so some of this is new territory for me. But I think there are a lot of similarities. Being the provost of university typically gives you exposure to a broad set of activities and areas within an institution. So I've had pretty good training over the last 12 to 15 years from a dean's perspective, campus vice chancellor perspective, and then the provost perspective. My philosophy to managing or leading an area has always been to lean heavily on the content experts that work within your unit. And so I've had a great week of conversations with the Northwest leadership team. I probably have been exposed to more information in 7 days than I have been in the last 5 years, right? So it's a lot of information coming at me. But, you know, stuff that I'm familiar with, I try to make sure that I don't get too much in the way for people to be able to do their jobs. I think trust and transparency are a key part of managing any organization. If you can build trust, if you can understand the culture, and then provide people with the latitude and the flexibility to make good decisions, 99% of those issues take care of themselves.
Okay. And for the listener, not to dredge up the past, but one of the things I kind of noticed during the pandemic is that it was very much a trial by fire for a lot of higher education officials. I mean, not only, you know, the presidents and provosts, but just everybody. And, you know, there was a lot of sinking and there was a lot of, you know, swimming. And I noticed at Troy University a lot of positive things about you and just the leadership down there. And based on everything I saw, it looks like you guys were one of the ones swimming during that. What is it that, you know, you were able to take away from the pandemic that you think, you know, you can apply now that, you know, going forward?
Yeah, the activities through the pandemic were, you know, they were difficult at times, almost seemed impossible to be able to get from one day to the next. But it was a great learning experience too. It tested me in ways that I'd never been tested before. I had the great privilege of actually leading the university through the planning and execution of the decisions we were making to deal with the pandemic. Like with most things in higher education, if you try to work issues and make decisions in isolation, the rest of the institution becomes skeptical of that process. And have you really had all of the input that you would need in order to make a good decision? Universities are such a broad set of activities that there's a sense from faculty and staff and students and alumni that it's important to get a broad set of inputs. And so having the confidence in the people that were put around me to work through this was, you know, it took some time to build that trust. We did make some mistakes. We made some decisions that didn't work well when they were first implemented. But my promise to everyone that was working with me was, if it's not working, we're going to say it's not working. We're going to come back into the room, and we're going to work to try to find a better solution. And that did happen a couple times. But we had faculty involved, we had staff involved, we had students involved. We tried to be as transparent as we possibly could. We tried to be empathetic at moments where, you know, perhaps one part of the institution wasn't as sensitive to an activity or to a policy as another. I worked very closely with our faculty senate during that time, and what we kept talking about was, you know, we just have to keep talking through this. We just have to keep coming to the table. We just have to keep the dialogue open. And if we can do that, I think we can find a solution, and we did.
And so I bring up the pandemic because, you know, Northwest, I feel like a lot of people would say, was another university that swam and was able to overcome things and take, you know, lessons away from it. And, you know, I bring it up as well because there's always these hurdles that, you know, appear and show up. Right now, I think a lot of people would say the hurdle for higher ed now is inflation and, you know, student retention and enrollment. How are you going to be approaching those issues as they arise?
What is facing Northwest is not absolutely unique to what is facing other universities throughout the country, particularly regional comprehensive universities. I think the model for the last 50 years, up until the last 10 years, has been that regional universities went out and collected as many people as they possibly could, brought them into the university, and then tried to figure out, you know, where do we put these students? And if they didn't stick, it wasn't critical because there were so many students wanting to get into the university. So the supply chain was healthy, it was strong, and so the attention to the retention piece perhaps was not what it needed to be. And that's a general observation. It's not specific to any university. But I think what we've learned over the last 10 years is that not only do you have to be very mindful and deliberate on how you retain your students, but you also have to be very mindful and strategic in how you recruit students into the institution. I know that Northwest has done a tremendous amount of work over the last 4 or 5 years to get themselves into a position of being much more strategic in who they recruit and then how they retain them. And it's evident in the data that you look at this university. I didn't walk into this opportunity not knowing a little bit about what was happening inside the university. And I think that there have been some great decisions that have been made. But, you know, state funding is going to be one of the topics that's going to have to be looked at and that we're going to have to work on. I don't ever believe there'll be a day where universities are supported 100% from the state. That's not a possibility, but we need to make sure that Northwest is getting equitable funding as it compares to other universities. I think the enrollment picture is certainly something that we're going to have to pay a lot of attention to, and I know that the units within the university that are challenged and are charged with that particular activity have been doing some really strategic things over the last 2 or 3 years, and you can see that in some of the increases that are being shown with incoming freshmen, and then with what's online. That's the other part, diversifying your portfolio. You know, you have to be diverse. You can't just do in-class. You can't just do online. You have to find the balance between the two. You don't just recruit students from Missouri. You know, you have to look at other states, but then also from an international recruitment perspective as well, bringing international students in, which I think benefits the university in a lot of different ways. So, you know, the approach for me is going to be to listen very intently. I deliberately chose June 1st as a start date because I wanted the summer to be able to spend time and sitting down with colleagues and learning about the university, learning about its culture, its practices, its traditions, but also getting myself ready for the fall so that no one is waiting on me to understand and to learn.
So I was originally going to kind of lump this in with the potential hurdles, but, you know, I kind of thought about it a little bit more. I'm like, well, it's not really a hurdle, but it is something that many people view as a hurdle. Some people view it as, you know, something to help boost the university. But, you know, I just kind of want your perception, you know, overall when it comes to AI, you know, artificial intelligence. I mean, you know, it's something that we're all discussing, we're all talking about. It's been around for a while, but, you know, it's come into the forefront as this potential force, whether it's for good or bad, you know, how do you see it, you know, overall, and how do you see it fitting into the future of Northwest?
Yeah, you know, the faculty part of me definitely has questions as it relates to the use of AI in the classroom or as it relates to completing assignments. I think, it doesn't take a lot of technical skill to get out there and to figure out that you can have a paper written on your behalf by just inputting some information and then just allowing a chatbot or one of those software platforms to write the paper for you. And I think, you know, the idea behind going to college is not necessarily to be able to walk away with a number of facts that you can memorize and spout off at the top of your, you know, your brain. I think it really talks about, you know, how do you exist within the world and how do you adapt to the changes in the world. And AI is one of those changes that we're going to have to adapt to. I think there are great advantages to AI. I think there are still parts of the university that will have to work through figuring out how to best utilize that. I think our greatest innovators and our entrepreneurs are typically going to be our students, right? And those frontline faculty and staff that are working to try to solve problems on an economy of scale level, right? So there are lots of things that you can do in recruiting. There are lots of things that you can do in reaching your stakeholders through AI where you won't need vast resources to do that, people, right? You can do a lot of work with a little bit of resourcing because the artificial intelligence is doing the work for you. So, you know, I'm not afraid of AI. I think it's something that's going to be a part of our future as we continue to move and evolve and develop in higher ed. But I think there are going to be parts of the business that are going to be slow to move just because we want the effort to be done by the individual that we're watching and looking at.
Okay. And, you know, something I asked, you know, the previous interim president, and I feel like you probably have, but, You know, have you talked with previous presidents of Northwest, whether it is, you know, Dr. Green, Dr. Jasinski, or Dr. Hubbard? And, you know, not to reveal all the conversations yet, but, you know, what is it that you took from those conversations with the people you've talked with who have been in your position in the past?
Yeah, so I've talked with both former presidents from Northwest. I've talked with current presidents from other universities and those who have actually worked at other universities but since retired. My greatest interaction has been with Dr. Green. I think Dr. Green just has done a tremendous job over the last year in making sure that Northwest is moving forward and is in position to be successful. I had an opportunity to meet and chat with Dr. Hubbard when I was here back in March. Had a great conversation with him. He was, you know, just an incredible personality to be around and to talk to and to see the passion that he has about Northwest. I haven't had a chance to talk to Dr. J yet, Dr. Jasinski. You know, I look forward to a chance to meet him in the coming months. But, you know, I think it's important to understand what has been done so that it gives you perspective on perhaps what can be done in the future. And, you know, not only has Dr. Green kind of helped lead me into transitioning into Northwest, but the entire leadership team has done that and other staff members. So I think there's still lots to learn. I don't claim to know everything there needs to be known about Northwest or to be university president. And I think that's why I'm trying to be very deliberate and move into things slowly so that I can make good decisions based on what I understand and know.
So what would you say are your long-term goals overall for not only your position, but for Northwest as a whole?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a little bit early in my tenure to really put some concrete things down. But I do think that, you know, certainly we need to find ways to advance university in terms of the resource opportunities. You know, we've got to make sure that the legislators in Jeff City know the value of Northwest to the state of Missouri and to this region of the state. And, you know, our proximity to Jeff City is not fantastic. We're probably farther away than anybody else, which means that our voice has to be raised a little bit more. We've got to be more attentive to telling our story. I think the greatest threat to any regional university is that the assumption is that everybody knows we're doing great work. I think you have to be a little bit proactive, and you have to tell people, you have to demonstrate to them that you're taking the taxpayer dollars and you're using them in a very effective way. But I think the state funding conversation is something that's going to have to be part of my priority list, because I think that we can't continue to put the burden of revenue on the backs of students. I think that's, you know, we're tuition driven, we'll always be tuition driven. But there is a limit out there to how much a student can absorb, and their parents, when it comes to tuition. You know, I'm very interested in academic programs. You know, I've been the dean of a college of education. I have a really good sense of what that looks like. I've been through, you know, a period of time as a provost where I've been exposed to the college of business, communication, and fine arts. But really what I've not had a lot of experience in, what I'm very excited about, is our college, our School of Ag. I think that's a real opportunity, particularly for Northwest in this part of the state and what is important from an economical standpoint to the state. You know, I'm interested in development of programs that the university hasn't really been involved with in the past, and maybe even, you know, what's out there ahead of us from a graduate level perspective. You know, are there opportunities not only at the master's and EDS level, but are there opportunities perhaps for us at the terminal degree level? I think that if you're not evolving, if you're not moving forward, then you begin to wither a little bit. And so I think pushing from an academic standpoint, how much farther can we go with this? And then I'm really interested in the community connection back to the university. I think that I've learned very quickly that the city of Maryville and Nottoway County are really intertwined with the university, and the reverse of that is true as well. This community, you know, this university is important to them, and the community is important to the university. And people you talk to, the interactions you have, you can see that, you can feel that. So I want to make sure that we don't lose that connection that's been established with the community.
Okay. Well, I have, two fluff questions, because, you know, in some ways, I feel like as a new president, there's only so much, you know, just kind of straightforward administrative talk we can do. So I kind of wanted to ask something maybe to reveal a bit more about your personality. What would you, okay, so not to, you know, say any place specifically in town or anywhere, but, you know, let's say a place said, all right, Dr. Tatum, we're going to make a sandwich and we're going to name it after you, and you could tell us what's on that sandwich.
Right.
What would the Dr. Tatum sandwich be?
The Dr. Tatum sandwich. Well, I think it's going to be multi-layer, right? So it's going to be the bottom piece, the meat and the lettuce and the tomatoes, mm-hmm. and those things, and then another layer of bread, and then stacked on. So I like big sandwiches. I actually love sandwiches. That's really kind of a part of me. I eat sandwiches all the time. And unfortunately, maybe for my overall health, I'm a big mayonnaise person. Like, I cannot stand a dry sandwich. So my sandwich is going to have some built-in moisture components. So the condiments are going to be very important to that. I like lighter meats more than I like darker meats. But, you know, I'm not adverse to eating bologna. Right? I love really good beef bologna. I grew up on bologna. Sandwiches, so I will sometimes dive back into the back part of the delicatessen to find the bologna sandwich.
Now, I don't know if they have, this is just me, I guess, being a Northwest Missourian bragger, but have you ever had smoked bologna?
No, I have not, but I have okay. heard of it, and I heard that it is very, very good, so I'm going to try that.
Okay. Yeah. Another thing that kind of came up. Do you do the British thing where you dip your fries in mayonnaise?
I will dip my fries in almost anything, right? So yes, mayonnaise. I like what, and I did this last night. I will take a number of different condiments and I will mix them all together to try to come up with something a little different, right? So ketchup and mayonnaise and mustard and, you know, deli mustard or brown mustard. Which is not a characteristic of my family, by the way. Right? No one else in my house really has that type of interest in condiments other than I. But I'll mix them. I'll put them in mayonnaise. My mother used to dip her fries into mustard, and as a child, I thought that was the strangest thing I'd ever seen in my life. But I'm growing into it.
Okay, and then the other kind of fluff question I have is, what is your favorite holiday / Christmas movie?
Christmas to me is like one of the best times of the year, and I think what the people at Northwest and the Maryville community is going to find out that for Jill and I, Christmas is really important. And there'll be a lot of activity around Christmas and decorating and hosting events and those kind of things. But I certainly have watched probably more than my share of Christmas movies. But I think A Christmas Story by far is my favorite. I think it reminds me of my childhood and what Christmas kind of looked like for me. And my brother and I, in fact, starting on Christmas Eve at midnight, we'll start texting each other lines from that movie. And it stays on at my house 24 hours a day from the time it starts until the time it goes off almost. In fact, we have pictures at Christmas morning where the TV's in the background, and there are scenes from A Christmas Story that show up in those pictures. So, but, Jill's a big It's a Wonderful Life person, so we watch that as well.
So in your mind, is there such thing as a bad Christmas movie?
A bad Christmas? No, I don't know if there's a bad Christmas movie. There's some that, I do like watching Elf. I think it's hilarious, there are some, I did watch a movie, and I can't remember the name of it. I guess you could call it a Christmas movie, but it was a movie where Santa Claus was not very happy, and a family had been taken hostage, and it was really more of an action-adventure movie more than it was a Christmas movie. I can't remember the name of it now.
Is that the one that got released recently?
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about. It has David Harbour in it.
Yeah, the family is fairly wealthy, and so this group of people are coming in to try to, steal from them, and lots of people get taken out. I watched it. I don't know if I'll watch it again, but so maybe that's not a bad Christmas movie. Maybe it's just a Christmas movie for a different type of person.
And then, of course, the ultimate question, is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Yes, of course it is.
Okay.
I mean, it could not be a Christmas movie. I think that Bruce Willis and what he does in that movie certainly is very Christmas.
All right. Well, those are all the questions I have. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No. I'm thrilled to be here. I think that part of what attracted me to this position was when we came here, we left here thinking this is a much better job than what we perceived before we got here. And it was because of the people we met. I mean, the passion for this university and the care that people have for this university is, you can't measure it. I mean, everyone I've spoken to They've been warm, they've been inviting, they've been kind, and they want what's best for Northwest. And I think that probably drove our motivation to really continue with this process until the end point. So, you know, we're thrilled. Jill will be here in about a week and a half. We'll be moving all of our household items up to Maryville, move into the residence, and we can't wait to get started with the fall.
All right. Well, once again, that was the new Northwest president, Dr. Lance Tatum. I'm Jeremy Werner, and this has been your morning conversation right here on KXCV KRNW.